You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. The countdown to kickoff continues. Super Bowl 51. Mark Lawrence will join us, and he'll share some information from the world-famous database from playbook.com, the best newsletter and best website for ATS and trend information in the world, bar none. Mark Lawrence joins us on the program. Paul Bovey joins us on the program. We're talking basketball tonight with Bovey. We got a full slate. I believe there's 10 games in the association this evening. And you know what, man? Like 6, 7, 8 of them? Yeah, it's pretty interesting slate tonight in the NBA, but it's a tricky time of the year to be betting NBA basketball. You better be careful. You have to identify who's showing up and who isn't. Paul Bovey will help us identify that. Bovey joined us on Monday, but we didn't get to much basketball talk, but he gave us one pick. Gave us Houston and Milwaukee to go over the number. It beat the number by about 19 points, I believe. Our basketball picks have been pretty good this week. Some bad beats last night, man. Real freaking painful, actually. That Villanova-Marquette game just sucked, all right? It sucked so hard I considered actually doing Who Ruined My Tuesday. But I was like, nah. It was brutal, man. It was brutal. The total was 150 and a half. What did it finish at? Like 148? Combined, the two teams missed 6 consecutive free throws, man. 6 free throws in the last, like, 3 minutes. It was torture. Because, you know, it was one of those deals where you're like, man, we got a puncher's chance to get here, but they need to hit free throws. And it was crazy. Both teams were hitting threes, and Marquette scored, like, 47 points or something in the second half. We still ended up losing by a couple of points. It hurt. There was a couple of bad beats in the NBA last night as well. But we had some winners, and we gave you a couple of big dogs in the NHL last night. One of them won with the St. Louis Blues. The other one we lost an overtime shootout, actually, with the Red Wings and the Bruins. But nevertheless, speaking of Boston, Tony Cincata, he's a Boston guy. He doesn't live there anymore, but he still has the accent, and he's still a Patriot guy. So Tony Cincata will join us. We'll talk some fantasy football with Tony Cincata. Fantasy football season's not done yet, guys. Although we're getting there, aren't we? You got your playoff challenges and your playoff format leagues and pools winding down. But DraftKings, one last tournament. You can't have one game, so you got Pro Bowl, Super Bowl. We're going to break that down. So we got a great show. We've got a lot of football talk, basketball talk, and fantasy football talk. So let's get started by talking about a term that you've heard a lot about recently. Fake news. Alternative facts, fake news. We've heard this a lot. And the term fake news was pretty much brought to light during the election and then subsequently after the election. Hillary Clinton blames, and the Democrats blame, fake news for losing the election. Donald Trump, if he doesn't like a story about him, that's fake news. So, fake news isn't new. The fact of the matter is everything that you see on television besides this show is a lie. Everyone's lying to you, all right? Everything in this world is a fake. It's a fraud. It's a lie. Mainstream news, they're telling you what the government tells them to tell you. Anderson Cooper hasn't given you his opinion on anything in 22 years. He's telling you what the press release from the Pentagon is telling you. You're being told what they want you to think. So fake news has been out there forever, but we should say it's more manipulated news. The term fake news actually is real. And I've read a lot about this, and there's people that said, you know what, I actually went to Georgetown. I actually went to UCLA. I wanted to be a writer, but I couldn't get a job, so I got into the fake news business. And basically, you just write something crazy. Hillary Clinton has abducted 9 Nicaraguan children. She has them locked in a basement, and they're having a pizza party. And, Barack is in on it, and he's covered it up all along. You get 180,000 hits in about half an hour. Doesn't matter if it's true? No, it doesn't matter if it's true. Unfortunately, since it gets hits, it doesn't matter whether it's true, and it will continue. And what sucks is this phenomenon has landed in the sports world. Remember the good old days? You go to CBSSports.com, there'd be information about sports and stories about sports. Now you go to CBS.com, and it's all speculative. Reports are, and sensational unrealistic. Nothing based in fact. You go to Fox.com, every second story is about the WWE. I don't know if Vince is paying these guys off for what's going on here. You either got a story about Conor McGregor running his mouth or the WWE. There's no substance anymore. The problem is CBS, Fox, NBC, they're supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be news organizations. Like if you go to CBSSports.com, you're not going there because you think it's TMZ. You're going there to get information about Tiger Woods or information about a basketball game this evening. But that doesn't get hits anymore. So, you know, why not? Let's just make stories up. So the NFL Network, CBS, and all the other mainstream media outlets decided to throw Antonio Brown under the bus. Antonio Brown's a bad guy because, oh, God forbid, he did a video from the locker room. Horrible guy. Horrible. Horrible. Robert Kraft was wasted on the field after the game. It was worse. Did anyone bring up Kraft? No, he's untouchable. But the players are never untouchable. If you notice, the media will never go after the owners because, you know, they want access into the stadiums. But they have no problem going after the players or even making crap up. That Antonio Brown on D'Angelo Williams' touchdown on Sunday night was pouting in the end zone, yelled at Ben Roethlisberger, caused a scene on the sidelines, and didn't celebrate with his teammates. Never mind the fact that there's a freaking photo of Antonio Brown celebrating. Never mind the fact Antonio Brown never went into the end zone. He never went. Here he is. Do you see Antonio Brown in the back of the end zone here? Do you see him pouting? Is Antonio Brown pouting right here? I don't know. It doesn't look. It's so bad. Look, Pat McAfee. We're talking about NFL kicker. Says what? You guys just making crap up? But pouting. Well, you guys so lying to make superstars look bad is good for biz, right? Even the NFL Network's doing it. Ah, why not? Who cares? He's only a player in our league. Let's just make crap up about him. Let's make crap up about him. And I got to tell you what, Big Ben Roethlisberger, you're not helping Antonio's case here at all by going on Pittsburgh radio and talking about how Antonio needs to stop throwing his hands in the air and pouting so much. Well, you know what? You need to stop going into bathroom stalls so much. You need to stop crashing motorcycles so much. You need to shut the hell up. That's what you need to do, Ben Roethlisberger. You freaking sucked on Sunday night. You're going to call out Antonio Brown. Maybe you guys would have thrown the damn ball. You would have had more numbers. Listen, it's not Antonio Brown's attitude or fault that they lost to the New England Patriots, all right? They lost to the New England Patriots because Ben Roethlisberger sucked, because Mike Tomlin's an idiot, and because Todd Haley doesn't know how to call a damn play from inside the five-yard line. Had nothing to do with Antonio Brown pouting, but I'll tell you right now, Antonio Brown won't be a Pittsburgh Steeler 2 years from now. You look at the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't care who you are. They're going to let you walk. They don't pay wide receivers. They don't like the attitude. And I'm not discounting the fact that Antonio Brown might have ruffled some feathers the wrong way. He's a wide receiver. That's what they do. Shocking developments. Wide receivers are temperamental divas, all right? That's who they are. But, you know, to throw Antonio Brown under the bus continuously, like somehow it's his fault the Pittsburgh Steelers lost, it's a pile of crap. And I've told you guys before, and I'll tell you again, we all need to not click these stupid stories so we can make sports media great again. Game Time Decision continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm worked up about Ben Roethlisberger now. It's like rehashing Sunday night's game. It's that Ben Roethlisberger now ripping Antonio Brown. Like, the media just ripped him and accused him of doing something he didn't do. And now his own quarterback goes on the radio and starts saying about Antonio Brown's got to stop pouting and being selfish and stuff. Like, I don't know. How about you actually, like, don't throw the ball, like, six yards over a wide receiver's head, Ben. How's that? But nevertheless. All right. Tony Sincott is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl, Super Bowl from a fantasy perspective, because if you want to play DraftKings for the Super Bowl, then you've got to get a piece of the Pro Bowl. You can just put one guy in if you want, but you got to get a piece of the Pro Bowl. But we'll get Sincott's strategy, because, you know, there's some pretty cheap salaries going on here, man. What's Darren Sproles? I think Sproles is $2,100. $2,100, how do you not play him? You know what I mean? So we'll talk about that. Paul Bovey's going to join me. We'll talk some NBA basketball. We'll talk a little college hoops, but we're going to focus in on the Super Bowl with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. We implore you to pick it up. It's a wealth of information, and the database is second to none when it comes to Super Bowl facts, trends, and history. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
My pleasure, Gabe. I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well, getting ready for this Super Bowl 51 showdown. And I'm looking forward this week. Jay Cornegay is going to roll out the props, the Super Bowl props from the Westgate, and talk with Dave Malinsky a little bit about this earlier on. And I know you have Dave on the show, and he's a great guy, good friend of both of ours. And I asked him, I says, initially, what's your first take on the Super Bowl props? I know you haven't seen the numbers yet. And his first take was, and I don't know if he shared this with you yet or not, is that he thought that they were going to have a tough time with this year's Super Bowl, especially with the total being as high as it is, being able to equal things out. So when you get Dave into a conversation with that, maybe you can dwell a little bit more with him on that. But this is the highest Super Bowl total that we've ever seen.
You know, I'm probably the biggest prop guy that I know. I mean, I routinely give props, you know, for the Thursday night games, the Monday night games, etc. on the show, Mark. But you're right. And, you know, like Aaron Rodgers is a good example. Aaron Rodgers used to be like about six weeks ago, the completion prop in his games is 23.5, 24.5. Then it went up to 25.5, 26.5. This past week it was 26.5, and it was 27.5 in some places. He ended up exactly with 27. So the props, they're so sharp right now. They're adjusted so much, so there's no value. And then secondly, Mark, as you just mentioned, when you have a total of 58.5, all the props are going to be set so high. So there's going to be actually, it's going to take some nuts to do it, but there'll be some opportunities to take the unders in somebody's props, Mark, because they're all going to be so high.
That's exactly what Dave is alluding to, the fact that the bar sets with the total. The total's high, expected scoring, so the other props are going to be high, and they have to balance these things out to put numbers up there that perhaps they don't want to put up there as high as they are, but they have to do so because of the total in the game. So it indeed will be interesting how they handle this.
You know, I'm not sure, and I'm a big over-better, and it probably gets there, but with that being stated, you know, so it's 58.5. Everyone's saying, it opened at 58, it's 58.5, and everyone's talking, the highest total ever, whatever, man. 7 years ago, it was 57.5. And it was the Saints and the Colts. It never even got close to the number. 31-17, final score. Now, I'm hard-pressed to believe that the final score of this game will be 31-17. But with that being stated, Bill Belichick is a master of the unpredictability factor. He's also a master of taking your strengths away. So, you know, just my small mind, I'm thinking if I'm the Patriots, you know, we're probably going to see a heavy dose, man, of Deion Lewis and a heavy dose of LeGarrette Blount, because Belichick is going to think, let's just keep these guys off the field. And the Falcons' weakness is they can't stop the run. They can't stop the run. They weren't exposed by that in the playoffs, but that's something to keep your eye on, actually. And if the Patriots are running the ball, they could be milking the clock a bit, Mark.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Bill Belichick is he's angling right now, preparing to keep the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands. And I think his focus in this football game is going to be on what he brings to the table that Atlanta doesn't. That's a good defense, a top 10 ranked defense, and utilize that in some way or some form to win this football game. I think it's going to be a little bit surprising here. You look at what they've done this year, they've allowed more than 25 points only one time in a football game this year, has the New England defense. defense. So I think that's going to be, like you mentioned, I think he hit it right on the head. His focus is going to be, let's keep the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands, chew up the clock, and we'll take our chances.
All right, Mark, I'm going to get into some of the trends, or at least not trends, but some of the key interesting Super Bowl facts that caught my eye. But here's one, Mark, and you know, you're the trend master. Let's just, we can stop talking about this game right now. You know, the Patriots are going to win because they're wearing white. And teams wearing white are 11-1 in the last 12 Super Bowls, with the exception, and I find this interesting, Mark, that the exception is the Green Bay Packers. When the Green Bay Packers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 6 years ago, they were wearing green. Incidentally, that's the last time a favorite covered the Super Bowl.
It's been amazing, hasn't it? Very quietly, the underdog has really barked in the Super Bowls of late here. And, you know, you want to tie that a little bit into what Tom Brady has done or hasn't done in the Super Bowl? How about the fact that in the six Super Bowls that he's been in, he's been favored four times, he lost the money all four times. He's been the underdog two times, he won the money in both of those football games. So it is a little bit of a dog-oriented flavoring as far as trends go in the Super Bowl of late.
Okay, so here's a couple of trends. And I remember last year you were on Denver, I was on Carolina. I should have heeded your advice and went with the better defense, except it was tough because Carolina was the second-ranked defense. But to me, when I look at this, you know, the Patriots, Falcons, number one scoring offense. Patriots are the number three scoring offense. The difference is the Patriots are the number one scoring defense and the Falcons are the 23rd. So there's a little bit of an dichotomy there. So how do a top-ranked offense, basically, offense versus defense. Teams with a higher ranked defense are 31-19 straight up in the Super Bowl. Top five offense versus defense have met 28 times in Super Bowl history. Defense is 15-13. I just mentioned the fact, though, that the Pats are number one D and they're number three offense. And Mark, I know your database going back over the years tells us that teams that are top 10 in offense and defense are top five in offense and defense are extremely successful in the Super Bowl, aren't they?
No question about that. Defense rules in Super Bowls. They've won 41 of the last 50 Super Bowls has the team with the better defense. Just flat out simple. Better defense wins football games, and I think the epitome of that is in the Super Bowl game here. What is relevant in this football game here, I think, could end up being is that New England's scoring defense is number one this year in the National Football League. I don't think people realize that. Number one scoring defense, Atlanta's scoring offense, obviously number one. But when you've had the collision of those two teams meeting in a Super Bowl game like we're going to have here, six times it's happened, the number one scoring defense is 5-1 straight up into the spread.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been saying, Mark, that this team reminds me a lot, this Falcons team reminds me a lot of the fastest show on turf, St. Louis Rams team from the early 2000s. And what happened to them? They lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Exactly. Case in point, one of the greatest offenses of all time. They ended up losing. I mentioned 11-1. So if you think too, because whatever, the jerseys, that's stupid. 11-1 the last 12. But it's also actually 32-18 all time. I don't know what to make of that, Mark, because the team wearing white is not generally, you know, the I don't get it. Like it doesn't make any sense to me. Like the Falcons, it's not like you have a better or worse team. It rotates with AFC, NFC every year. But the Falcons had a choice. They could have worn whatever they wanted, and they decided to go with red.
Yeah, you don't know what the decision-making is in the process here. The red's the more colorful, identifiable team color, so perhaps that's the thinking here. I think they wear red at home to the Atlanta Falcons, where they met with a great deal of success.
Yeah.
That might be behind the thinking here as well. And then again, they didn't want New England to be in their darks. So, you know, who knows what the thinking is, but 11-1 the last 12 years, that is indeed a trend.
For the record, the Patriots are 2-1 in white with white jerseys in the Super Bowl. And, you know, you figure with jerseys, but it's interesting because, you know, the Denver Broncos were 0-4 in the Super Bowl, Mark, with orange jerseys. Every Super Bowl that they had lost, they were wearing orange. And John Elway said, screw this, man. We're not wearing orange anymore. And you remember they went to the blue jersey and they won.
Yep.
They won. Orange. And then they went to the white one and they won. So it's, you know, it's interesting that if you're the Patriots, I don't think it doesn't matter. You can put these guys in pink, it doesn't matter. It is, you know, it is. Is what what it is. So yeah, we mentioned it's been a the point spread is generally it's more than generally irrelevant, Mark. But what is it? 42-6-2, the outright winner. So the point spread's irrelevant in the Super Bowl.
Point spread has been irrelevant in the Super Bowl. I think what ties into that, what's a little more meaningful, is the fact that the average price of the favorite in the Super Bowl has been 7.5 points in the 50 Super Bowls. So if you found favorites that were favored by that number or more, they more than likely won the game. And when they win the game, they cover the spread. The difficulty we have this year is the fact that it's only a 3-point spread in this football game. So I don't know how you can feel comfortable picking the winner of the game and saying you're going to cash the ticket, because at 3 points, we really in truth don't know who the better team or who is going to win this game.
Yeah, you know, and if yeah, exactly. And if you're on the Atlanta Falcons, yes, you know what I mean? The money line's not that high. You'd almost rather just take the 3 points. And, you know, we're talking about this. And that's the thing with the Super Bowl. That's what makes it the Super Bowl. It's like a Supreme Court case. Everything contradicts each other, you know? But one thing is, we're saying, oh, the point spread doesn't matter. So if you like the Patriots, they're going to cover the number. You know, so it's 3. But the Patriots, their 4 Super Bowl wins, they're all close, Mark. You know, they had 3 wins by 3 points and not one by 4 points against Seattle.
Yeah, that ties into the Tom Brady numbers that we just talked about. You know, the fact that there aren't blowout games by the Patriots in Super Bowls. I think they're just happy to get in and get out. And I think if you had to ask Bill Belichick, if you asked him this question, do you want to go up and down the field with the Atlanta Falcons, or do you want to dictate the pace? And I know what his answer would be. He wants to dictate the pace. He's not looking to get into that high-scoring football game here. So it has been their mantra, just to win the football game and get off the field. And I think that's going to be his mantra again this year.
All right, so before we get to some college basketball talk with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Interesting, I never knew how much the Vince Lombardi trophy was worth, Mark. The actual silver trophy. So the trophy that the Brady hoists so often. How much is its monetary value? Well, what's your guesstimation, Mark?
I'm going to guess it's a six-figure trophy. But, you know, it being the Super Bowl, probably a little bit inflated, but I'd say we'll put it at $200,000.
No, you know what? I was shocked to find out how much it's worth. $3,300.
Really?
It's amazing. It's worth so much more. Like, how many, like, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I'll personally, hey, I'll give you $3,300. Give us the trophy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, hey, like, I just got a producer in the headset and said he'll put in on it. Yeah, the actual trophy is only worth $3,300. It's not real silver. It's sterling silver.
Wow. Well, you know something? It's worth whatever a person will pay, obviously, and yeah. I think the bottom line is it's not for sale. That's what Roger.
People have shortened their lives to get that $3,300 trophy. Like, you're right, man. Like, people have done a lot of things, and sacrificed body parts to get a piece of that trophy. Yeah, I just found it amazing, actually. And this is pretty good, Mark. Yeah, it's useless information, but about this too. It was commissioned by Tiffany Jewelers. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Tiffany Jewelers made the Vince Lombardi trophy.
I wouldn't think Tiffany Jewelers makes anything for less than $5,000.
Well, they made it in 1969 or 70,
that's
whatever
true.
It was,
that's
right?
True.
So,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
So I guess that was the original value. So it's $3,300 worth of silver, so worth of sterling silver. And here's the last useless fact. The Atlanta Falcons have only been to 2 Super Bowls in franchise history. Interestingly enough, both times the head coach's first name was Dan. Dan Reeves, Dan Quinn.
Wow, that's interesting. You might be a 2-time loser, Dan, or a 1-1, Dan. We'll find out here Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, so before we get you out of here, crazy night of college hoops last night. Upset City, Marquette. You know, Marquette upset Creighton on the road the other night. Then they stormed back last night. They were down big in that game against Nova. They come back. Kentucky falls to the Vols last night. And, you know, it wasn't a monster upset or anything because Louisville were actually favored. But holy crap, Mark, 106-51 last night.
Yeah, unbelievable what we're seeing in college basketball here right now. And 106-51, how lopsided is that? You know, I was going to talk about, I'm doing this daily connection thing with my customers, my fans base, and that was a game I was going to warn them about, Louisville being a trap spot for them. Tough home court for Pittsburgh, revenge. This is not the right spot for Louisville. I'm glad I didn't put that out because I would have been wearing egg on my face as we're talking about it today. The other part you mentioned, Kentucky losing to Tennessee, that's 2 games in a row this this week. We've seen double-digit underdogs win the whole game. We saw NC State pull the rug out on Duke on Monday, and I think this is a trend I think we have to watch for here. We're in the second half of the season here. These teams are going to be playing their best basketball against these best teams, and these double-digit dogs, if they have any reason to play, will come and do that. We saw that with Tennessee last night.
All right, Mark, we got to get out of here. We're getting the hook, but quickly on this UCLA and USC tonight, what's your take? Do we have a live dog tonight on their home court, the Trojans?
I think normally we would. I don't like the fact that they took the Bruins out three times last year. They beat him in the Pac-12 tourney. UCLA is also coming in off an upset loss their last game, so I think you're going to see UCLA's best game here. Normally I'd be on the Trojans. I don't like the situation or the setup. I'd play UCLA or nobody in the game.
Yeah, I know it is a bad spot. Both teams have been money burners. UCLA 2-7-1 last 10 against the spread. USC 2-10 last 12 against the number. 7-1 to the over last 8 in the series. Always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Gabe. We'll wrap up the Super Bowl next week. Be good.
Paul Bovey joins us next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's welcome Paul Bovey. You can find him over at VegasInsider.com. Let's talk some NBA basketball. We talked Super Bowl opening numbers with Paul on Monday's show. And Paul, I know you put it out there. You thought that it was more than a fair number for the New England Patriots. I'm in agreement with you right now. And I was just talking with Mark Lawrence about this, but I'm not disappointed to find out that the Falcons decided to wear red when I see that teams wearing white are 11-1 last 12 Super Bowls, Paul, and 32-18 all time in white as well. So, you know, we don't even have to bother studying, capping, or doing anything with this game. The team in white is the Patriots. I like it.
I'm trying to handicap this coin toss here, so as soon as I finish that game, I'll get to the uniforms.
Yeah, so I'm a tails guy. I always call it tails. I believe in tails. You know, I read a story about Lou Holtz once. Lou Holtz used to do it on the plane, actually, Paul, which is pretty cool. And I'd be like, well, you know, let's flip a coin. And Lou Holtz would flip a coin like 1,000 times to try to get an edge on the heads or the tails. And he said it was inconclusive.
Leave it to Lou.
Yeah. Said it was inconclusive. But you know what's funny? Lou said, no, but I believe, you know, he goes, I think that tails comes up more. And it's ironic because you remember in the NFL with the Steelers and the Lions with the coin toss debacle on Thanksgiving that year?
1998. Yes,
yeah, it was Jerome Bettis. Right? He played for Lou Holtz. And he even said, he goes, I always call tails ever since I was in the college with Lou Holtz.
Yeah, there's been some interesting stories with coin tosses. I remember in the 60s, there was a situation where somebody won the toss. I don't want to name him. I believe I know who he is, but in case I'm wrong. And anyway, he elected to kick the ball away. And they never saw the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's some strange decision that could never be explained to this day. I think it was Abner Haynes, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I'm such a degenerate. Me and my buddies used to flip coins for like $50 and $100. So we'd be drinking and just real simple. Flip the coin, you call it, and then if you lose, boom, here's $50. You know, that's real degenerate stuff. But nevertheless, yeah, you play any of the degenerate Super Bowl props at all, or just the game props?
I don't play the degenerate ones. In fact, I've written a few articles. I was writing articles on prop betting way back in the day, and a few of them twice got picked up by USA Today for their online edition. So I've been all over these props for years, and one of the recommendations I have always made is to stay away from random props because those are for the squares, the people that want to have a good time. But if you're serious about this and you want to win money, all you have to do is exploit inefficiencies in the market, of which there are many.
All right, Paul. So let's take a look at the market tonight for the NBA. We'll talk NFL next week, and the props are being released Thursday night. The real props, not the Gatorade props and the Lady Gaga props, but the real props are being released Thursday night by Cornegay over at the Westgate. Hawks and Bulls tonight. Great call by you. You warned me about the Clippers. Clippers got blasted the night before, or Saturday night, and to Denver. They go on the road. They're beat up, and they beat Atlanta outright. And here are the Atlanta Hawks, and now they're in Chicago tonight. They're laying 1.5. The Hawks have beaten the Chicago Bulls 6 straight times for one reason or another. Something that caught my eye with this game is just the fact that the Chicago Bulls are on a 4-0 under run.
I am not a Dwayne Wade fan. I believe he's an actor and he just is a drama queen, but he is a gamer. Now, he came out and apologized after the performance the other night where the Hawks had a 29-point lead at half over his Chicago Bulls. The Bulls came back, made it respectable, outscored him by 21 in the last quarter. 102-93 on the final, but I believe the Bulls will be inspired here, and I will believe he will play very well. They have a lot of situations going on in Chicago, namely with Rondo, who has become another problem, as he was at some of his past places, and he's been replaced by Jerry and Grant. You know, Rondo has not made a free throw. I'm thinking of starting a pool. When will Rondo make his next free throw? He hasn't made one since December 6th. Can you believe it?
Somebody that lost a total bet last night in Marquette because of 6 straight missed free throws between both teams. I believe it. Nothing surprised me. So, yeah, you like the Bulls in a revenge spot here tonight then, huh?
I do.
All right, so we got the Rockets and the Celtics tonight. People were hyping the Celtics like, oh, they're going to be the, you know, the best team in the East next to the Cavs. Forget about the Raptors. And, you know, the Celtics have potential, but they don't really play defense. They, you know, Isaiah Thomas is good, but, you know, they're a bunch of very good players, but they're not great players on this team. They're sort of up and down, but they've given up 100 or more in 16 of 17 games. I didn't realize they're on a 15-2 overrun the Boston Celtics are right now. You called it on this show with the Rockets going over the number with the Bucks on Monday night. What are you making of Rockets laying 4 here? I think the Celtics are actually in a decent spot here.
I think the Celtics are in a decent spot. One of the problems with the Celtics is the acquisition of Al Horford, the signing. Okay, so Celtics fans were in a tizzy, in a positive tizzy, because they figured Al Horford was going to put him over the top. I don't think he's a great defender. I don't think he's a great player. Gorsat the other night, 7 of 8 from the field. They need more productivity and defense out of him, and maybe the loss of Avery Bradley is definitely hitting him, because in the 4 games he's missed just recently, they've given up an average of, I think it's 117 points a game. Marcus Smart, over that time period, who's replaced him, is 12 of 47. Now, he had 4 steals the other night, but look, the Celtics have to do better if they think they're going to get to the next level. I think they're a play here at +4. The Rockets definitely overachieving this year, but, you know, 4 points, I would side to Boston.
Yeah, and, you know, the Rockets are in the midst of a road trip. We're kind of at that time of the year right now, pre-All-Star game. You can catch some of the elite team sleepwalking every now and then. What do you make of the total at 229? Like I said, the Celtics are on a 15-2 overrun.
Hi. I think Boston will play some defense tonight. Last time these two teams squared off, I think they scored 213, if I'm not mistaken, 107-106. It was a close game. I think Houston snuck it out. But that's just an inflated number. I'm not saying they're not going to score points here, but you know, is there value in a 229? No.
Yeah, it should be 223, 222, 223, which exactly what the Warriors and the Hornets number is. And this is something, and I talk about this, it's hard to stay on top of every damn trend out there, especially I cover a bunch of sports. But we got a couple of trends going on. Warriors, 5-0 to the under in the last five. Charlotte Hornets, 6-0 to the under last six. And both teams are 7-1 to the under in their last eight games, because the Golden State Warrior numbers are always sky high when it comes to the totals. We know Curry, you know, his father played in Charlotte. Curry's a Charlotte guy. He grew up in Charlotte and briefly in Toronto as well. But he always likes going back to Charlotte. He's a Panther fan, Cam Newton buddy and all that. They're laying 10. You know, they were on a seven-game win streak. They were bored the other night. They lost to Miami. What do you make of this one and the 10 points? Is it too high? Any interest in the home dog?
I watched that game the other night. They weren't bored. They just were outplayed in the fourth quarter, and Miami hit big shots. Let's look at this realistically, Gabe. Right now, Deion Waiters and Dragic are one of the best 1-2 punches in the game over the last week. I mean, Waiters is off the hook, 66 points. I don't even know what he is from beyond the arc. It's 11-16. But getting back to the Charlotte game, Golden State is just inflated with these numbers. Minus 10 on the road. The Hornets are not a terrible team. Sure, they lost to Washington a few days ago. I get it. They were 8-32 from beyond the arc. Walker was 7-24 overall, 2-10 from three. You're not going to win games like that. Issue is Kaminsky and Zeller are on the are questionable tonight, which means you may have a lot of Roy Hibbert, and that isn't a positive thing. So would I lay 10 points on the road? Absolutely not. Would I go under on the game? Well, based on your trends, probably a lean, but this is a game I would sit out.
Thunder and Pelicans. So I like the Thunder on Monday. I like the fact that they finally had a couple of days off. They didn't play. They last played Thursday against Golden State, and then so they had a couple of days off, 3 days off. They beat Utah. I thought Utah were in a bad spot last night in Denver. Now we have the Pelicans. From what I'm seeing, Davis is supposed to play tonight. You know, kind of an interesting game here with the Pelicans. I mean, they beat the Cavs. They gave up .143 the other day. They're kind of helter-skelter, but we only got like 30 seconds here, Paul. But the fact is, Pelicans are now 8-2 against the spread last 10 times when getting points at home, and are getting a point and a half tonight at home.
OKC figures to kill them on the offensive boards. Adams and Kanter, 9 offensive rebounds last time they played in a 121-110 win. Both teams got into the paint heavily. Over 110 points combined in the paint. I think this game represents some value at 217.5 to go over the number.
I agree. And I've got this one circled to go over the number as well. All right, we got to wrap it up. It's always a pleasure talking basketball with Paul Bovey. You can find him over at VegasInsider.com. He's been lighting it up. All the picks are right there. Everything's documented. And he likes the Chicago Bulls tonight against the visiting Atlanta Hawks. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, Bulls in a good spot tonight. I do agree with that. All right, we'll take a quick break. Tony Cicada joins us next. We'll talk some fantasy football. Game Time Decisions continues on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, we'll cut the small talk. Let's bring in the Tony Cicada right now so we can talk some fantasy football and talk Super Bowl 51 with Tony Rock and the Patriots. Is that the old school one from the Bledsoe days in Parcells?
Yeah. That's the Elvis New England Patriots.
Remember when they went silver? People didn't like it. Oh, what the hell? They went silver. Now, listen, I want to ask you, Tony, because you and I are from the same age group. You're a lifelong Patriot guy, originally Bostonian. Could you have imagined that the Patriots are playing in 9 Super Bowls right now? Back when the day when the most famous thing about the Patriots was the guy on the weekend pass that came out and like plowed the snow.
Yeah.
The stadium was empty. The Patriots' first Super Bowl wasn't even that long ago. 30 years ago, they got freaking smoked by the Chicago Bears. They were just sort of like, oh, sorry, we got to do this to you. But bang, Tony Eason and Steve Grogan and stuff. And who would have thought from that day on that they would play in 8 more Super Bowls? I sure as hell didn't.
I'll give you one story. Let's sum up for everyone that doesn't understand. Me and my brother at about 20 years old bought 10 season tickets for the Patriots, and we would take all our friends and we'd all get drunk and everything, right? We would lose and every week. So it came to December. They're playing the Rams. The Patriots have 2 wins. The Rams have 4. Nobody wanted to go to the game. So the two of us went to the game. We put 8 tickets on the windshield of the car. We came back. There were 12 on the windshield. That was the New England Patriots.
Somebody else said, oh, that's where you put your tickets, eh?
But that's, imagine that nowadays. That's how crazy. That's how bad they were.
They really were. I know. The stadium was empty. The stadium was empty. And it's funny because people tell me he's a Bills fan. Oh, the Patriot. I'm like, yeah, it wasn't like this in the old days. Remember, like, exactly. Even in, like, you know, not that long ago, but let's say late 80s, early 90s, the Bills, the Dolphins were the other team. Remember, it was Dan Marino and Jim Kelly. And the Patriots and the Jets sucked.
That's the whole thing. When I look at these new franchises and a lot of them going with these younger coaches and guys that have never held a job, which is a big mistake. The New England Patriots were all turned around by Bill Parcells coming in, a new owner, and then just committing themselves to upper echelon management and keeping it there. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Say what you want about Mike Tomlin. If you don't think he's the same, a good coach, I can totally understand. But keeping one guy in the place has made a difference and kept that team competitive.
You know, it's unbelievable. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had 3 coaches in their entire history.
Yeah.
3 coaches. The Bills have a new coach every 2 years. Like in the last 15 years, like, the Bills have 8 coaches, literally. So I can't even keep up anymore. I don't know. Like I don't know. It's like, remember Seinfeld, every episode he'd be dating a new chick, right? I remember they came in a diner once and Jerry said, oh, you want to meet her? And they're like, no. That's how I feel about Sean McDermott. People are like, hey, Marenzi, what do you think about Sean McDermott? I'm like, I don't know. I don't care, all right? He's going to be gone in 2 years. He looks like Richie Cunningham. He looks like Ron Howard, all right? That's what I know about Sean McDermott. All right, we'll get your Super Bowl. We'll talk next week about the Super Bowl. But let's talk some fantasy right now. Although, I've been joking all day. Throw out all the stats. Teams that are wearing white are 11-1 the last 12. They're 32-18 all time, and the Patriots are wearing white. So give me the Patriots, Tony.
This is the craziest thing now. You look at this game, wearing white, right? And this is the game where the novices put in bets, right? People like these things, and they go to Super Bowl parties, and they like to fire them away. And you're going to have some grandmother there with the whole white situation taking home a couple K from a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, you're right. I know. It's always somebody who doesn't know anything that wins that that square thing. All right, we only got 5 minutes already. So it's kind of tough, man. We don't have a lot of history of strategy and what the best way to approach this is with the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl, DraftKings. But if you want a piece of the Super Bowl, you got to get a piece of the Pro Bowl. So, you know, you look at some of these salaries. So we're right out of the gate here. Matt Ryan, $9,100. Brady's $8,700. If you're looking for some value here, you get Drew Brees, $4,300. Rivers, $4K. Dak, $3,800. Kirk Cousins, $36. Andy Dalton, and Smith never gets any respect, huh? $3,100, cheapest guy. Andy Dalton sucks, all right? He's cost me big money in Pro Bowls before. He really is. He's a bad Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't know, man. Maybe Dak Prescott? You know, how do you approach this, Tony?
All right, so the only thing to do is this is how you win in these type of games. Like, you want to watch a game, and you got to be in a little fantasy. It enhances your game. So how you win in this type of situation is you've got to pay attention to the news. If somebody gets sick or someone gets hurt in the pregame festivities, the Thursday night situation that they got going on, the skills competition, they get down to 2 quarterbacks, then you take one of those 2 quarterbacks. quarterbacks. Like, it won't even matter the name here. I would go and I would take a shot on a guy like Drew Brees, who I think will actually care about this game, throwing two touchdowns. Then I would load up on Julian Edelman or Chris Hogan, or go with the real players in the Super Bowl game and try to save $5,000 in the quarterback position.
All right, so as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, and I brought this up earlier, I think the Patriots are going to try to run the ball. I think they'll be able to run the ball. You know, the Packers couldn't run the ball. They didn't have any running backs. And even Montgomery got hurt in the game. Kristen Michael sucks, all right? Fantasy people, Michael next year. Like, Kristen Michael is never going to be, you know, whatever. But the Falcons are vulnerable to the run, but Seattle and Green Bay were unable to exploit that. Belichick likes to attack the weakness and take away your strength. Well, the weakness of the Atlanta Falcons is their pass, their rush defense. And to me, they're going to run the football and take away their strength, which is their offense, which keeps Matt Ryan on the sidelines. You know, do you like Lewis and Blunt in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a tale of two halves. I think you see Deion Lewis early in the game.
Yeah.
He's going to get the ball out of the backfield. He's going to try to get a couple big plays. And then late in the game, if they have the lead, they're going to try to ram LeGarrette Blunt down their throats. If you saw even last week against Pittsburgh, they figured they just tired the defense, and then Blunt came in and just ran it down their throats for some big runs. I think both these guys are going to get in the end zone in a game with a 58 total.
You know, there's a guy here with Ezekiel Elliott, $4,000. He seems to me like the type of kid that would try in the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I can see him popping one for 80 yards, Tony, 4K. But, and, you know, we're using the term Pro Bowler. Like, I guess it's fake news, alternative Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Alternative facts.
Yes, alternative facts Pro Bowl.
It's the alternative fact Pro Bowl. Like, this Pro Bowl is so bad, the AFC asked Tyrod Taylor to play. And Tyrod Taylor, the Bills don't even want him. And he's like, I can't play. It's got surgery.
So, that's the craziest thing ever.
Like,
right?
Andy Dalton. Not to pick on Andy. Andy's a good quarterback, but he didn't have a good year. Like, he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback. And is Philip Rivers a San Diego Charger or an LA Charger on Sunday?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm thinking he's a San Diego Charger.
Like, when he throws a play, do they say Philip Rivers of the LA Chargers or the San Diego Chargers?
That's a great, great question. Do they wear that new helmet where they just rip somebody's logo off, the Dodgers logo off, and they're going to be sued and taken to the court, and they're never going to be able to put that logo out there?
Rivers says that he's a San Diego Charger on Sunday. He says, this is my last game as a San Diego Charger. It's good PR. So we got to be quick on the way out here. Is Sproles, $2,100.
I'll put him in. $2,100, this game suits him, right? He'll catch balls out of the backfield. Nobody wants to run a tackle to tackle. He's a guy that will run crazy. He might even get a special teams touchdown because nobody wants to tackle. Sproles is a guy at $2,100 you have to put in.
You're right. And you know what? No one's taking a knee on kickoffs. They run it back like from like the back of the end zone. And he's crazy enough. He'll be like, yeah, put me in for a punt. I'll do it. Yeah. Sproles at $2,100. He's got to be in the lineup. Thanks, Tony.
Hey, take care.
Yeah, $2,100 for Sproles, man. Come on. All right, we come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off. Where are we starting off here? Start off right here. Celtics, NBA, +4. We're going to go over the number in this basketball game. It's a little bit high at 229, but without being stated, the Celtics are 15-2 to the over in their last 17 basketball games. We got the Thunder and the Pelicans. It's a tough spot, I think, for the Thunder. They played on Monday night in Utah. The Pelicans are a good home team. They're 8-2 against the spread. The last 10 times they've gotten points on their home court, and they're getting a point and a half tonight. I think this game's going to be a track meet, actually. They're going to go up and down the court. I like the Pelicans and the Thunder to go over the number. Philadelphia 76ers. Even without Joel Embiid, these guys get it done. They're a freaking covering machine, the Philadelphia 76ers right now. They're getting 11.5 points tonight. I don't know. We might be going back to the well one too many times with the Sixers, but I don't want to leave them on the table. They're like the Nuggets right now. The Nuggets, the Sixers, and the Wizards are among the hottest teams in the NBA. So give us the 11.5. College basketball, I'm already scared of this. I love the over in this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring shootout. But USC have beaten UCLA 3 times in a row. UCLA are probably going to be in a pretty bad mood after the game against Arizona the other day. But USC getting 7, I got to take it. May the winners be yours.